This is Polyphonic Press, the podcast where two music fans pick a classic album completely at random. Using the patented random album generator, they are given an album to review from a curated list of over 1,000 classic releases, spanning multiple genres. And now onto the show. Here are your hosts, Jeremy Boyd and John Van Dyke.
Hey, welcome to Polyphonic Press. I'm Jeremy Boyd.
And I'm John Van Dyke.
And let's not waste any time. We've got the patented random album generator right in front of us here. So let's hit the button and see what album we're going to be listening to this week. And the album we're going to be listening to is Willie Colon and Ruben Blades' Siambra. Okay, so this is... Oh, it's a salsa record. Interesting. Oh. Okay. Cool. Okay. All right. Well, this is what it says on allmusic.com. The high point of Willie Colon's... I don't know how to pronounce it. It's got an accent on the O, on the second
it's
O.
It's probably Colon.
Colon? Okay.
Probably.
The high point of Willie Colon's ongoing collaboration with Ruben Blades and close to a career peak for both artists, Siembra exploded on the salsa scene in 1978 and has never been forgotten by fans. Beginning with a minute of playfully deceptive quasi-disco arrangements, Colon and his band slip into a devastating salsa groove for the opener, Plastico, on which Blades first criticizes America's throwaway society and then brings all of Latin America together with a call of unity. Blades wrote all but one of the songs on Siembra and shines on all of them. His extended high-tenor salsa scatting lifts Buscando Guayaba, and his tender side comes across on the love song Dime, and he outlines a devastating life in El Barrio expose with Pedro Navaja, Peter the Knife. For the latter, Colon and Luis Ortiz's tight arrangement adds immeasurably to the song, using street noise and sirens, breaking into the ironic "I like to live in America" and punching the statement home with a four trombone line, reflecting the tough times but optimistic attitude of El Barrio during the late 70s. Siembra joined Cosa Nuestra as one of Willie Colon's career landmarks. Okay. So this album was released on the 7th of September, 1978. The genre is salsa, and it came out on Fania Records and was produced by Willie Colon, Jerry Masucci, and Johnny Pacheco. And there are 7 songs on the album, and it doesn't really say where side one and side two are. So what we'll do is, what we like to do is we like to pause halfway through the album after side one, basically. And so what we'll do is we'll pause after song 4. And so if you're listening along, which we encourage you to do, and we've linked the album in the show notes to both Spotify and Apple Music, the album starts with Plastico, and side one ends with Maria Lianza. So we'll stop there halfway through to discuss. And so without further ado, okay, so here is the first song on the album, Plastico. Okay, and ending side one with Maria Lianza. Yeah, this is pretty fantastic. I mean, I'm not that familiar with salsa music, but I'm really liking this. It's really good.
Yeah, it's sort of fun. I thought it was a little bit interesting at the beginning when it sort of went into this disco thing at first. And then it sort of switched gears into this salsa thing. I thought that was sort of interesting, and it was very, very funky, and then it was very, very, I'm not sure what the word is for salsa.
I guess funky is a good
spicy,
I guess. Yeah, that works. Yeah.
Let's put it
sure.
that way.
I mean, yeah, no, I don't know a whole lot about salsa music, and you know, when we sort of step outside our wheelhouse, it's a little bit tough to talk about, but what I can talk about is the musicianship. I mean, everything is everything is so tight, and the production is really good too. It sounds very like this was recorded in 1978, and it sounds very modern in a way. It sounds newer than that. It sounds
okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like it was maybe like from the 90s or something, or 90s or later. To me, anyway, the one thing that does kind of, you know, give it away is the 70s is that disco feel in the first song. But other than that, it's sort of like, okay, this is very not 70s production style. This is sort of like
it's its own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing I noticed is that his singing is like, he's very, very like, he's a very good singer. His notes are always dead on. I've noticed that. Like he doesn't, you know, go all over the place. Whereas, you know, at some singers that we've listened to in the past have definitely wavered a little bit. Like even good singers, some of them are, you know,
a little sharp or a little flat.
Or anything. This guy's not.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
But you're right. He is hitting it on the head just, you know, like every time. Yeah, no, he's an amazing singer. The singer is Reuben Blades.
Okay.
He's the singer, and Willie Colon is the band leader, and he's playing the trombone. So Reuben Blades is the one writing all the songs, or at least writing the lyrics. And, you know, I don't speak Spanish, and so I'm not sure. It's hard to know exactly what these songs are about, but what I can gather is a lot of these are protest songs, and they're anti-war songs, which is interesting because, I suppose it's done in a similar way that reggae is, you know, the music is very happy and uplifting, but the lyrics are, it's like, this is what's really going on.
Yeah.
And I suppose it's similar with this. These are like anti-war, like very critical of America. And like this was recorded in the United States. It was recorded in New York City. So it's a salsa album through the lens of living in America and living in the United States.
Interesting. Yeah, I was actually going to wonder, or I was going to ask where it was actually recorded. And that was, you might have said at the beginning, but it hadn't registered or anything like that. But the fact that it is in New York City, that is sort of interesting. And the street sounds on the third song, I'm wondering, did he pick those up off the street in New York, or what?
I couldn't find any information on that. Possibly it could have come from like a sound effects library. They could have recorded it on the street. I don't know. There wasn't really any information on that. I wouldn't be surprised if they recorded it, but it also could have come from, you know, sound effects library somewhere. This album in particular, this is actually considered like this was universally well liked by everybody when this came out. This was a big deal when this came out in the Latin community. This was the album to have. And it's one of the albums that actually helped bring sort of more Latin music into, I wouldn't say the mainstream, because it never really quite hit the mainstream in North America, but it's sort of more people who were not Latin were aware of this, of that music because of this album.
So it's like essential listening when it comes to Latin salsa music or something like that. It's like if you were gonna go into like psychedelic rock or something like that, I'd say, well, or progressive rock, I guess. You start with Dark Side of the Moon or something like that, and this is like that.
Exactly,
album.
This is a good entry point. If you want to get into salsa music, this is like, if someone's recommending you like 5 albums to get into salsa music, this would definitely be one of them. So this is a pretty big, and it's very, apparently very different from a lot of salsa music that had been made up to this point. I think, you know, to be honest, my exposure to Latin music and salsa is really through the lens of Santana, and that's not really salsa music. That's sort of rock and roll with salsa elements. Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I definitely love Santana as well, but it's definitely sits outside of really what you would call traditional Latin music, I guess. He was definitely experimenting.
Yeah, and a lot of the Latin music that, like, this is sort of like, if you think about, a good comparison might be like the Beatles doing, like when the Beatles put out Sgt. Pepper, it's still rock and roll, but it's very different from anything that anyone had done before that. So it's like, yes, this is still salsa music, but there's elements here like the sound effects in Pedro Navaja, that I don't think that it was very common, or like incorporating some disco elements. Like that wasn't very common. So it's sort of like, this is sort of a new salsa sound, basically. Yeah.
Gotcha.
And
all right.
And so I did manage, there isn't a whole lot of information on the album, but I did manage to find a few facts. This is the two guys, Willie Colon and Ruben Blades, they're not a group together. They both have independent careers, but they did record 4 albums together, and this is the second one they did together. So Willie Colon, he's actually an American trombonist, born in New York City to Puerto Rican parents. And Ruben Blades is a singer and multi-instrumentalist, and he's also an actor, and he's been in a bunch of movies, and he's from Panama. And yeah, this is the biggest selling album, biggest selling salsa album of all time. It has sold 3 million copies, and it's considered the most important salsa album, one of the most important salsa albums, like I was saying. And every song on the album at one time was a big hit somewhere in a Latin country. And I think a lot of that was because I think a lot of this album, first of all, it's easy to dance to, and I think a lot of the songs were played in the clubs. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I believe it. Absolutely. It's sort of interesting. It was Willie Colon must have been, I wonder if he was like, being in New York, I was wondering if he was like around, you know, the jazz scene or something like that.
Probably. I'm sure he was.
Because I'm listening to sort of his style, and it's...
Yeah, well, he was born in 1950, so... 1950. So he was pretty young. He was 28 when this came out. So I don't know if he wasn't around in the 40s or anything, like in that sort of scene.
No, not in that. In that
so...
Scene. That's sort of interesting. So I guess... He might have missed that, but I was trying to pinpoint sort of his trumpet style.
Trombone.
Or trombone yeah. style. Is, I don't know, it's almost sort of melancholy in a way. Hearing sort of just the way he hits the notes and sort of, I don't know. It's very smooth.
Yeah, it is. It does. It is very, very jazz-like for sure. Yeah, it doesn't say anything about, well, it, yeah. Okay. So this is on his Wikipedia page. It says beyond the trombone, he has also worked as a composer, arranger and singer, and eventually as a producer and director, combining elements of jazz, rock and salsa. His work incorporates the rhythms of traditional music from African descent in Cuba, the Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico and Brazil. So he's definitely aware of jazz and incorporating a lot of jazz. I mean, he is, you know, his parents are Puerto Rican, but you can't grow up in New York City and not be exposed to all that music. It's just whether you're conscious of it or not, you're going to pick up on it.
Yeah. 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 That's sort of what I was alluding to. Cause it's a, well, the term they use all the time is melting pot. New York City being one of the prime examples.
And the last thing that I came across is the song Pedro Navaja. It is considered their masterpiece, and it's actually based on that old song Mac the Knife, but. Yes. More of a Latin feel to it.
I did pick up on that, and I also noticed the key changes every once in a while would pick up like Mac the Knife, and that was actually the example I was going to use. And I was forgetting all about that tangent that I was, but as I was listening to it, I definitely saw parallels there.
Yeah, and I didn't know what the story of the song was, but it, because it's in Spanish, but the storyline is the lyrics of the song by Blades describe the namesake of the song as he walks down an unnamed avenue in New York City, explicitly mentioning how Navaja dresses. By the way, Pedro Navaja in English is Peter Blade. In mentioning how Navaja dresses, what kind of shoes that he wears, his dark glasses worn so that no one can tell what he's looking at, his shiny gold tooth, and how he always hides his hands in his coat pockets so that no one can tell which hands he holds his knife. At the same time, the song notes and also describes a tired streetwalker who's walking the same street about three blocks from Navaja. An unmarked police car slowly cruising down the avenue, and the prostitute steps into an alley to have a drink. It is a slow day, and she has not had any clients. Navaja looks around the empty avenue when suddenly the woman comes out of the alley and he sees her. He tightens his grip on the knife and silently runs across the street. Meanwhile, the prostitute takes a gun out of her coat pocket and is about to put it in her purse so that it stops bothering her. When Navaja attacks her with the knife, laughing and the gold tooth lighting up the avenue as he plunges the weapon into her. Suddenly, a shot rings out from a Smith & Wesson 38 special, and Navaja falls to the ground while the mortally wounded woman taunts him verbally as she also falls to the ground. A drunken man stumbles upon the two dead bodies, picks up the gun, the knife, and $2 and saunters away, singing off-key about the surprises that life throws at you.
Okay.
So it's a pretty dark song. The lyrical content is maybe something that like Nick Cave would do. Or maybe Tom Waits or something. But it's done. The music is very lively. But you know, it's just fascinating that, you know, that is, and, but Mac the Knife is kind of a dark song too, isn't it?
It is, depending on sort of the version that you're familiar with. But yeah, some versions are quite dark. So
yeah. So interesting. And you know, it's no wonder that, that Reuben Blades went on to, like, he's written screenplays and books as well. Like
he's got a flair for the dramatic.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So those are all the facts that I could find. So I guess we'll get into the second side of the album. But before we do, let's hear from our friends over at Rock Talk Studio. So check that out.
What was the last really great rock and roll book you read? How about a good rock and roll documentary? Well, that's why I started the Rock Talk Studio podcast, the place to go for recommendations of new rock and roll books and documentaries. Give me 20 minutes and the Rock Talk Studio podcast will get you caught up on the world of rock and roll books and docs from every possible angle and leave you with a no-doubt decision on where to spend your time and money. Want to know what to read next or which film to add to your watch list? Well, here comes all the top recommendations and hidden gems you don't want to miss. I'm your host, Big Rick. Join me for an exclusive look into what's hitting the shelves and the screens and get ready to rock your reading and viewing list. The Rock Talk Studio Podcast, your ultimate guide to discovering the best new rock and roll books and documentaries.
We'll now take a few seconds before we begin side two. Thank you. Here's side two.
All right, and ending the album with the title track, Siembra. Yeah, I mean, I really can't think of anything negative to say about it. I mean, it's really... Yeah, I don't even have the words. It's just a great album. I mean, and you know, I think for being an introduction to salsa music, I mean, this seems like the perfect place to start, really.
Yeah, it's a good place to start. Absolutely. I thought that was sort of interesting. The last song was pretty interesting the way it's I like the way it started out, and I'm trying to remember exactly how it started out, but I remembered that I liked that it started.
It kind of started out with a swell of strings, and yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but there was like this other like groove that sort of that went along that was actually quite good. So I thought that was pretty good.
It's kind of, yeah, it is hard because there are different like sort of changes that it goes through, you know, and you know, it's funny because there's only 7 songs on the album. A lot of the songs are quite long. I don't think there's a song that's under 5 minutes. They don't feel like long songs. They don't feel like they drag on. And I'm wondering if that's, I can't figure out why. I can't really figure out why that is, because it's a lot of the time, like songs that are that long will sort of drag on too much, but these ones just don't really seem to.
I don't know. Maybe it's sort of the nature of the music. A couple of times I thought it was dragging on a little bit, but usually around the time it was starting to drag out, I'm looking at the thing. It was just like, oh, it's just about to wrap up now anyway. I think the one that got me the most was probably Dima or whatever, however that's pronounced. I think that one dragged it. It's the second longest.
Yeah. Yeah, that one did a little bit. I still enjoyed it for sure, but yeah, it did sort of, yeah, I don't know if I can say it dragged on for me. I didn't find myself getting
You didn't get bored or anything of anything like that. No. Yeah, it did a little bit for me, but just really that one song. And I find it interesting that the one that the longer one actually didn't get me, and that's the Pedro Navaja. Maybe just because there was so much going on in it, they consider that one their masterpiece. I sort of understand that because there's just so much. I don't know. How do you sort of explain a masterpiece?
Well, you know, it's funny. It's funny you mentioned that. It's cinematic.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny. They're actually, sort of looked this up after. There actually is a movie based on that song. A Spanish language movie that was based on that song. And yeah, that is like, that song is to salsa what Marvin Gaye's What's Going On is to R&B, if that makes sense. So it's like, it's still in the realm, but it's saying something about the state of the world and what's going on. It's telling a story. And yeah, I think there wasn't a lot of information on the other songs. That was considered, like, that's their probably the most popular song on the album. But from what I gather, all of the songs have that sort of message, and that sort of the songs are actually about something rather than, you know, just being like pop music that, you know, just has sort of surface level lyrics. I think that's why it is considered their masterpiece, that it was so pivotal in Latin music. And it had such a huge influence on future artists too, that, and I think that's why, like I said, the production sounds so modern, is because this sort of set the blueprint for a lot of Latin music that would come after. So a lot of the production choices, a lot of the way that it's mixed, they never, I don't want to say they never deviated from it, but it seems like the way this album sounds was a big influence on how Latin music would sound for quite a long time after.
Gotcha. Yeah. I wish I was a little more familiar so I could like pull up examples of it, but yeah. From what I've like heard just in like passing, it sounds very, well, I don't want to say typical, but it sounds very
familiar. I guess
blueprintish. Yeah. I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, they're the ones that kind of set that blueprint. So this, you know, it might be difficult. I don't know, but what are your three favorite songs or three highlights?
I think I'm gonna go with Pedro Navaja. I think that one is one of the highlights for sure for me. Plastico was pretty fun, and I guess Siembra.
Interesting. Okay, yeah, I think you took two of my three. I'm definitely gonna go with Pedro Navaja. That was, you know, or Navaja. I don't know how say it, but yeah, that's definitely a highlight for me. And Siembra as well. I think, you know, that was a great song too. And I think I'm gonna go with Ojos. I really like that one too. Yeah. Yeah, those are my three picks. So then the question that brings us to the question is, would you listen to this album again?
I think it's one of those mood records for me. I think I'd have to be in the right mood, but I think I probably would.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think it's one of those things. It's Well, it, you know, it's interesting. I think, I wonder if, maybe. I think I would say the same thing, but I'm wondering if putting it on would put me in the mood to listen to it. So, yeah, I think I would say, I would say the same thing. It's like, if I'm in the mood to listen to it, I would. But yeah, I would for sure listen to it again. I mean, I really enjoyed it. And yeah, it's the same, same with a lot of the music that we've discovered. It's like, yeah, okay. It's something I would put on if I'm in the mood for. Yeah. But yeah, I guess we'll end the episode there. Thank you so much for listening if you made it this far. Don't forget to subscribe and follow the show so you don't miss any future episodes. And we'd love if you would leave us a rating and review. It really helps people discover the show and helps find new listeners. And if you want to support the show, you can do that by heading over to our Patreon at patreon.com/polyphonicpress. You can get these episodes the day before they go live, and you can even pick an album for us to review. And don't forget to check out the website, where you can get more info and updates and different ways to connect with us. And I think that just about does it. I'm Jeremy Boyd.
And I'm John Van Dyke.
Take it easy.